We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Are you ready?
2 years and 2 months.
To apologize to Tom Brady with this whole Cliff nonsense.
Apologize? Are you serious?
Tom Brady's just about done. He is going to fall off a cliff.
For the organization that's the smartest in football, they have some of the dumbest fans in sports. Like, dumb. Dumb.
I don't know. What do we do about the haters? We love them. We love them back because we don't hate back.
Now the Patriots have cap room. I mean, they didn't have cap room when they signed Cam. Makes it really hard for the Patriots to add to their team.
Does it make sense to spend $18 million of the 34 available on Jadeveon Clowney? How's that go over with Cam Newton?
That's why he has a great culture. He's not going to do that.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm sure Max Kellerman will have no issue whatsoever. It's been 4 years now. Of sitting there and saying, okay, I was wrong.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey.
I'm actually curious. I like to know the genesis of things. You know, I want to know, okay, it's a brand new show. Skip Bayless is gone.
First day.
Comes Max Kellerman. Right. The very first day, they say, hey, hit him with a whammy.
What was your theory?
No, I am convinced that was all right. What's the most outrageous thing I could say to get the most attention? That's what I'm
going to say.
And
listen, at the time, you got to say, okay, which one do you want to go after? You want to go after Tom Brady or LeBron James, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. I'll go after Brady. Got it.
And Brady was an easier target because he was older, and based on what other quarterbacks were doing or had done in history, he was bound to kind of slow down. But like we have all remember, like he did not. He still won Super Bowls. He's still playing great, and he's who knows where the cliff is.
Well, let's put it this way. He got 4 years out of this. That's pretty good. To take one take on the radio and get 4 years out of it, pretty good.
I don't know if it's – I mean, he was wrong. You know, so I don't know. Like, so, we're still talking about it because it was outrageous. So in the end, you know, my thing is he's got a little Rob Parker in him. You know, he's got a little bit of Rob Parker in him. So he's going to see, what can I say that's so outlandish and so off the books, like Marcus Smart is the best, most important player of the Celtics.
In a big game, I'd take Eli over Brady.
Whatever. All right, 2:30 today, Max Kellerman will join us.
Nice.
Live. And we got Red Sox baseball tonight, but I'm looking at this, and this is amazing to me. It wasn't that long ago, guys. What was it, 3-4 weeks ago? We're sitting here going, what the hell are the Patriots going to do? They have no money. The $300,000, $500,000, $600,000 that's all they've got on the cap. How the hell can you operate a team? And it wasn't like they didn't have holes in the lineup. I'm looking at it today, and with all of the opt-outs, and who knows, maybe we get more opt-outs between now and Thursday, the Pats cap is at $34 million.
I just laugh at people who are, look how much money they got. Does anyone think they're going to spend the damn money? I mean, like, talk about. I mean, they squeak when they walk. They're so
speaking
tight
like a former player, Lou.
Okay, well, I mean, well, listen, true, be though. Honest. I mean, when you think of teams that go all in on players and overspend, they don't do it. They're disciplined. They're financially disciplined. Like, here's their deal. Here's what we're doing. We're not chasing anything. We're not falling for any scams. You're not going to call us up and get us to invest in some rinky-dink little organization. We're not doing it. So great. They got all this money. Do we actually think they're going to spend the money on anybody?
No, yeah. Well, they're not going to spend it the way a lot of people do, I think. A lot of people think they're
going
to.
Well, how we want them to.
Right. No, I think that they – listen, we could talk about all this free cash that they've got because these guys opted out, but they only have free cash because now – they have holes because those guys opted out. So they don't have a right tackle. They don't have a linebacker. They're missing a safety. They're missing a fullback. So to me, it's like they're going to go get these guys. And everybody that's left out in the scrap heap right now, there's a reason why they're still out there. I mean, Clowney's really the only one that's holding on for big bucks. So they're going to be able to bring these guys in, but they're not going to be, they're going to be one-year deals. So next year, their money's gone as well. And it's going to give guys an opportunity because there's playing time now with all their losses.
I would say the word
still be frugal with it.
Yeah, the word we should use is value once again. So they'll go to these guys. Once these guys don't have any other options, they'll sit there and say, okay, we'll take you 1 year, and we'll give you value dollars. So the one guy that I could see them bringing back in based on what happened here in the last week with the opt-out is Logan Ryan. Apparently, he didn't get the big bucks out there. The NFL 100 this year has him as the 60th best player in the NFL. I think that's a little bit too high. But he's a guy that you can plug and play. He's a guy that knows the system, knows the terminology, knows the players. Well-liked here. He got his money, and now he's free. Now, unless the Jets are going to offer him a boatload of money, he seems to me to be the obvious candidate that he comes in here 1 year, cheap dollars.
That's your sound for Logan Ryan.
Now, is that if the McCourties opt out because you're looking for another corner, or is it just because you think that they feel maybe he can play safety?
Yeah, I think they can look at it and say he can play with guys in front of him, or we can switch somebody, you know?
I think that's an obvious, yeah. Yes, I think that's the obvious
They're fit. Interchangeable, in Bill's eyes right now. But
yeah, I think that's like the obvious fit. You know what I mean? Like Logan Ryan's still a free agent. Obviously, he was here a couple years ago. He's a good player for you. Wanted more money. Happy for Logan Ryan. He went to Tennessee, got his cash. So now he's still a free agent. You got all these spots. I think that's an obvious one, right? So, but I still think that they need some experience at the linebacking crew. They need linebackers. They need a right tackle. I mean, there's certain things that they desperately need. And I'm not so sure Logan Ryan is a desperate need. That's all. I could see him bringing him in, but he is not the number one or number. I wouldn't say he's top five as far as needs go. A guy like that. They got other needs.
They have Logan Ryan's easy, but as much as I just think there's going to be a lot of demand for guys. Just use Logan Ryan. So that's the word of the day. The name of the day is Logan Ryan.
I think they value the position, and if you get an injury or two, then you got some issues right there.
My point is, like, if your issue is spending money, if your issues are, I don't want to overpay for anybody, then you're not going to get anybody. Because I believe that guys, veteran players who can jump into a situation without any practice time, without any preseason games, and start for you right away, then those guys suddenly are going to make more money than they ever would because of the supply is so low and the demand is so high.
When's that going to happen? Teams are in camp now.
I think it's a camp. They say camp? Wait, who's in camp?
Conditioning.
Nobody's in camp. There's nothing that they're doing looks like camp. So I would say this, Glenn. Like, we used to sit there and look at preseason a certain way and say, God, the window's closing. These older guys, they used to be, when camp ended, a lot of teams would sign these veteran players after the first game because the veteran player's contract was not guaranteed. If they were on the opening day roster, you cut them week two. Well, I don't care. My contract is guaranteed. I'm making every last cent. You sign them after that first game. You can cut them at any time, and you just prorate their salary.
Okay. Do either one of you think that there's any chance they're going to spend money on Jadeveon Clowney?
No, I told you last week.
Okay.
Here's the problem with Jadeveon Clowney. Michael Lombardi is wrong. It's not because he doesn't fit or he can't fit. It's because he already has offers. He had an offer from Cleveland for $17 million. He has an offer from Seattle for $12 million. He's got a potential suitor in Tennessee of over $10 million. So the fact is that he's already got teams that are going to pay him the money. The Patriots have no business chasing him because they won't be able to compete. It has nothing to do with the fact that he can't play on this defense. Whoever says that, I think Lombardi is dead wrong with his opinion of Jadeveon Clowney, well, calling him out for only who doesn't only, practice. There's a reason why guys don't practice.
The only thing would be that if Clowney still feels the Patriots are the Patriots, which I'm not so sure you feel that way right now about this team. And, you know, you mentioned some of those offers that he had on the table, right? What numbers he turned down. What did you say, $17 million?
17.
He turned down 13.
He wants 20.
He does. Okay. But I wonder if those situations have changed in those organizations.
I think the number is going back up again because all these teams have money now. More teams have money, and they can spend it. Because suddenly the Patriots...
my point is that the only way it would happen is if you know, numbers go down, other teams are like, listen, we offered you 17, we can't do that anymore. We've gone in different directions, this is what we brought in. We brought in this guy with an idea that he's our edge rusher, we've moved on. And if that price tag comes way down, and you can get this guy with, like, you know, $8 million whatever contract with incentives that he's happy about, then yeah, I could see it.
See,
but I don't know if that number's coming down.
I disagree with you, Christian. I don't think these teams are going to spend an awful lot of money for a couple of reasons. One, they still have to pay the money for the opt-out guys. It just moves to next year's books. Next year's books are already showing that we're going to have a lower cap ceiling. And who knows, it may be even worse if this thing doesn't get through 16 games. It could be a disaster next year. I don't think teams are going to put themselves in that position. But when it comes to Clowney, both Tommy Curran and Mike Lombardi...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Says the reason they're not going for Jadeveon Clowney is all about Cam Newton. We will get to that coming up next. And as I mentioned, Max Kellerman will join us coming up here at 2:30.
WEEI.
Now the Patriots have cap room. I mean, they didn't have cap room when they signed Cam. Makes it really hard for the Patriots to add to their team. They're either going to have to go back and redo Cam's contract, or they're going to have to do something, because any player that they may want to sign, they may have to give him a signing bonus, or they may have to do something because Cam didn't get it. And knowing Belichick as well as I do, there's no way he's bringing a player in to the team and paying him a signing bonus and then have to look Cam Newton in the eye and say, well, it was just all timing. Sorry, Cam.
Right.
That's why he has a great culture. He's not going to do that.
So there's Mike Lombardi basically telling you that they're not bringing in a significant player, significant upgrade, mainly because they just don't want to piss off Cam Newton.
Well, that's not true, though. No, no, what he's saying is he'll throw a little something at Cam Newton. I mean, because you can't sit there and say you're not going to bring in anybody because Cam only gave Cam $500,000. We can't bring in anyone. No, what he's saying is that he'll redo Cam. He'll give Cam a little bit more money. Right?
Yeah, I don't understand why they would do that.
He wouldn't sign. They're not going to sign anyone?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know why they would do that, though, guys.
I'm just saying, they could sign. Logan Ryan's going to be more money than Cam. Or just as much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
so bringing a starting right tackle, you think? I mean,
yeah, but he's not going to be $12 million. That you're going to have to spend significant money on Jadeveon Clowney. Is that safe to say? He's the biggest name, Lou, on that list. As you look at the list, he's the best player on the list.
Yeah, and he was better than you last year, Cam.
Yeah, so you're going to have to give significant money to do that, and that might piss off Cam Newton. Well, Tom Curran said the exact same thing earlier.
Does it make sense to spend $18 million of the 34 available on Jadeveon Clowney? How does that go over with Cam Newton, meanwhile, who's working on a minimum? That's another side issue to this, too. I think the players will know what the Patriots have, obviously, in cap space, and a good player like Clowney would say, you're going to pay me the going rate for what I would normally get. Yeah, you can make that run at a player, but these contracts, whether it be Cannon, Chung, Hightower, they've just basically disappeared from this year, but they do come back to life next year. So how long can you sign a player that you pick up? Or if you sign a Clowney, are you basically saying, well, we're probably going to release those guys next year anyway when their contracts come back up?
See, here's the thing, though. The Clowney thing is it's absurd. $18 million, of course. If I was Cam Newton, I would be, are you kidding me? This guy is not even every down guy. But the point is that I can understand it because they're peers. They're similar. Both guys are first picks in the draft and all that other stuff. And you start, you know, weighing importance and significance to the team and who makes the most difference, blah, blah, blah. if you brought Jadeveon Clowney in for like a one year $10 million deal, and say he got $3 million guaranteed, and then there was a base salary of like maybe two, and then everything else was incentives, then I don't think you have a problem. I don't think that's an absurd amount of money for a guy like that. But if you say, hey, listen, here's $8 million guaranteed, they're not going to do that. So it's just take it off the table. Logan Ryan will get a two, maybe a 3-year deal, and he'll make more than $6 million in that deal. But it's not the same. I don't think you're talking like for like. We're talking, you know, established pair, peer versus peer, and that guy's a defensive back, and it's just structured differently. But they're not going to sit there and run away from veteran players because of Cam Newton. They don't pay anybody anyways.
I agree. I don't think they're going to do it, and I don't know why, and Lombardi thinks they would redo that deal. Why would you redo the deal with Cam Newton right now unless after a week or two you are totally convinced that he's the guy? If that's the case, then you do it. That makes no sense.
Right. So let's protect ourselves and throw a bunch of incentives in there because he's got injury history and we're not really sure. So you know what? Week three, we don't think he's going to get hurt anymore. Let's just give him that money. See, when the hell has that ever
Bill
happened?
Bill doesn't do that. You know.
It's ridiculous. No, you know what? We like you now. We know you. You're awesome. Yeah. Yeah. You're awesome. And so just take the money because you know what? We have such a long track record with you. You've really done so much and we trust you. And we feel like, you know, like you're like Rob Ninkovich now. You're like Julian Edelman. We're just going to give you those bonuses. No, you just take those bonuses.
But, I mean, but even when Curran's saying that those salaries don't just go away, they go to next year. Really, it's really Chung's the only one you really can't get rid of because Hightower and Cannon have no guaranteed dollars at all next year. At all. I mean, you could save $6 million by dumping Cannon, take like a $3.5 million cap hit. You could save $10 million by dumping Hightower and take like a $2 million cap hit.
I think.
I mean, you know, you could dump both these guys, take that $6 million cap hit, but save $16, $17 million. Like, I'm not so sure Hightower ever plays again for the New England Patriots, ever. Cannon, I don't know, $10 million bucks for a right tackle that's out of the game, especially if you come up with an answer this offseason. Maybe it's a kid or somebody else. I could see both these guys being gone and saving $17 million next year. Yeah.
I could see if you have a replacement for both of those guys and you have it at cheap dollars, there's no way you're bringing them back.
No.
You're just not doing it. But I agree with Christian. I just don't see Belichick looking at that 34 and spending a fortune when he's looking at his team. And he probably assesses it, even though he's not going to tank, they're trying to win every single game. He's got to look at it realistically and say, okay, what do we have? Do we have a Super Bowl championship team? Not really. We have some young players. We have some good players. Maybe we do something. Maybe we're interesting. But he needs that 34 for next year, because next year is where you really start building that championship caliber team. But Glenn, they've got
$100 million next year, right? Under the cap. So you think they should hoard another $25, $30 and carry it over to next year so they have $130 million? You don't really believe they're going to allow this salary cap to drop $80 million, right? I mean, $70 million. You can't do it.
Well, suppose they don't finish the season.
Well, I think that, like we said before, maybe they'll borrow it to future years. You can't come into a salary cap next year with $140 million salary cap after being 208.
I don't, but you may end up with the next 2 years having the cap instead of being 215 and 225 million.
I know, but you may have a cap
of 180.
That's fine.
And 185 for the next 2 years.
How many times have we said that they're in the best position than anybody?
They are.
Okay, so why do you want to hoard more? Governor Baker?
Because I just don't think right now he's going to go out and spend a fortune with the $34 million because he wants to push it forward. Now, I'm not saying that he won't use some of it, Lou. I think he will. We were talking when they had $8 or $9 million. We're sitting there going, well, he's not going to do much with $8 or $9 million because he also has to keep some of that money.
Well, he had $24 million.
Right, for instance, or $24 million. But now that you have $34 million, he could get some value for $10 million and push ahead $24 million. He could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, but what I think is just kind of humorous is the fact that it's like, okay, I found $20 in my pocket. Most of us, hey, you know what? Hey, this another round. Round's on me. You know, we're spending that money because it's, you know, it's money that we never thought we had anyway. So what does it matter if we spend it because we never thought we had it in the first place?
Right.
They don't think that way. They don't sit there and look at it as, I got to get this to zero. How am I going to divvy it up? I got to give it away to people. You know, it's like that scene from Dumb and Dumber. They're just walking out in their suits, you know, giving out huge tips to everybody who's like, who's helping.
So Bill basically would win like a $20 scratch ticket, cash it in, take $10 cash, put it in his pocket, and get a $10 scratch.
Yeah.
When most of us would just say, give me another one.
Yeah. Exactly. Let it ride.
Come on. You know what? Give me two more.
Bill looks at it worst case scenario.
Until you lose it.
I feel lucky.
You know, there's people like who gamble like that. They go to Vegas. They go to these casinos. And they go in with $100. You know what? I'm gonna gamble until I lose it. Where some people, some people go in, I'm going to gamble till I double it. They're that person. They're that person that says, I'm going to gamble till I double it. Where other people, hey, let's just go have a good time. I'm going to gamble with $100 until I lose it. And they have no desire to really double down and make money. So they're not nearly as cautious and careful as the guy that's really trying to make the most out of their money.
Well, it involves an awful lot of discipline. And I think the one thing we know about Belichick is he has tremendous discipline. So I do think they're going to bring maybe a player or two players in. Cheap, one-year deal. Most likely those veterans. Delanie Walker could be one. One of those veterans you were talking about, Christian. Not going to cost him an awful lot of money. He doesn't have to worry about it for next year. And it gives him the flexibility for next year. I just don't see them going and redoing Cam Newton's deal because there's somebody out there that Bill needs to have. You know, have to have that player. I just don't see it happening. Max Kellerman is celebrating his fourth anniversary this week.
Cliff.
With First Take. And, of course, his first big take on First Take was that Brady was dropping off the cliff. Remember that one? 4 years later, we're going to check in with Max Kellerman and see if he still feels the same way. We do it coming up next right here on OMF.
Tom Brady's just about done. He is going to fall off a cliff. Tom Brady is going to be a bum in short order.
Did you just say that Tom Brady is just about done?
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Remember the Roadrunner cartoons, guys? The coyote would be tricked into running off the cliff. Did he fall right away? No. He thought there was still ground under his feet. And then he fell. And I think that's where Tom Brady is right now. Enjoy him while you can, folks. He's like a meteor coming through the atmosphere. Right before it crashes, it burns brightest. This is it. Don't get mad at me. I'm the only one right now truly with the credibility to say, hey, Tom Brady.
Oh, congratulations.
Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. And we want to congratulate Max Kellerman, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. It is 4 years now. With First Take, and it is 4 years since he made that prediction just about done. First of all, Max, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Did you hear those brilliant metaphors? Oh, my God. Who could adjust to metaphors like that on the fly? First of all, it's not 4 years. This is what happened.
I got on
first show. It was July, I want to say, 16th. I said 18 months on the outside. That took you up to the 2019 season. Now, he did not a cliff. That is true. He's more like tumbling down a ravine. But guys, if you want to pretend Tom Brady was the same guy last year as he'd been the year before and the year before that, it was a precipitous drop off.
Max, I would agree. As Patriot fans, we would agree. Last year looked a little bit different. But that was 3 years after the prediction. I believe he won a Super Bowl and MVP shortly after he says he's about to fall off a cliff, though.
I said 18 months. So now take summer of 2016, right?
Yeah.
18 months takes you through the 2016 season, because that 6 months, you know, takes you to, I don't know, past the Super Bowl in that season.
Okay.
Through the 2017 season, he defied the prediction by 1 year, where he was Super Bowl MVP in the lowest scoring, by the way, in the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time.
He won.
He was a Super Bowl MVP on a great defensive team with the greatest coach ever and a running game. He messed up less than the quarterback on the other side of opposite him. And then last year really fell off. I was a year late.
Max, I'm shocked. I had a bet with the fellows. I said you were going to come on here and say like what any good person would do and say I was wrong. No?
I just said, yes, I was, by 1 year.
Yeah, well, you know, whether you were, I tell you what, Max, whether you were wrong or right, I tell you what, I don't
Max, are you on a speakerphone? Because it's tough to hear you.
Oh, no, actually, I'm on, hold on, I'm on AirPods because they say it's easier to hear me, but let me take them out.
Yeah, let me just say, yeah, on. Because it's a little bit muffled there. I want to be able to appreciate your work.
Is that any better?
Oh, my God. Better. Night
yeah,
and day.
So, yeah, Max, okay, I was saying, like,
I was just told that it's worse. Again.
Yeah, whether you were right or wrong, I don't think it even matters. I don't think anyone has gotten more, you know, out of a quote than you have with the cliff and the bum in the same kind of sentence. I mean, because I was curious.
Well,
like,
I should have never said bum, and I apologize for that the next day. Because I was being glib, but I should never have said bum. I don't, you know, that's not, especially about someone like Tom Brady. But I did believe in the cliff. Okay, I was wrong in two ways. One, it was a year after my prediction. And two, it's much more of a ravine than a cliff. You know, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, those guys, oh my God, they're better than they've ever been. And all of a sudden they couldn't play anymore.
But Max,
and I was expecting something like that, whereas Brady was better than he'd ever been, and then he kind of he took a steep fall, but he's still NFL. And even then, I said he could be average. He's a little better than average still, but I don't think much.
But correct me if I'm wrong. You think he's going to be pretty good down in Tampa, though, right? I mean, if he's off the cliff.
I think an average, and I just said maybe even a little better than average quarterback, given that offense and all the weapons around him in that situation, can put up some numbers. Let's see if Tom Brady does it. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think last year, you know, he's not the. Let's look at what happened, because it's not like Belichick wasn't seeing the same thing that I was seeing. He wanted to get rid of Brady for Garoppolo. Brady did an end around Belichick, went to the owner, went to Kraft, and got Garoppolo shipped out of town. Garoppolo took a team that couldn't win to save their lives, went 5-0, gets hurt. They, again, can't win to save their lives. He comes back, they don't lose. They go to the Super Bowl, have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Like, Belichick saw that and wanted to replace Brady with that guy. He couldn't. Brady left the cover bare for him. Meantime, Brady needed to beat, and the Patriots needed to beat Miami last week of the season. That's a game that you always win, but you didn't. And then you need to win the playoff game. You know, when you don't have a bye in the first round in the worst division ever, it's easy to advance. It was a little harder last year, and he couldn't do it because he's getting old.
So do you think that, like, based on everything that you've just said, they're almost better off with Cam Newton?
This year it's possible, except, of course, there's not the continuity. You know, the thing about Brady and Belichick, and Belichick also, like, look at how the team was structured. Belichick realized, okay, if Brady can game manage and be big when we need him to be, right, which is like, you know, I'm an Eli Manning fan. That's all Eli ever was at his best. If he can do that and we can have a real great defense, especially in the secondary, and a conservative offense, we can get this done. But even then, the returns in the playoffs were diminished last year. And that, like, Belichick was planning for the future with continuity, but the best he can do now is try to kind of a stopgap measure without the continuity and see what he can cobble together as he looks for the next franchise guy.
We're talking to Max Kellerman of ESPN. So you tell me, in the business here, is it good business to talk about the Patriots and Belichick and Brady? And if this thing does fall apart, does it take away a big portion of what you guys do in First Take?
This is what we do on First Take. By the way, am I trolling Boston? Only if I'm doing it right. You know,
yeah.
Of course, I hate Boston.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm from New York. But the point is, whenever you have the holy cow, right, the thing you are not allowed to criticize, whether it's Tom Brady and the Patriots, or it's LeBron James and wherever he is, or whoever that athlete is, who is the best at what they do, but no one's perfect. And all you have to do is ask the question that gets your honest answer to be, hey, this guy isn't perfect, and people will lose their minds. And, of course, that's good for ratings.
So, Max, you know, do you think that the Patriots are going to continually benefit as far as fan interaction, fan support, media support, as far as, like, their brand loyalty? There's just a history of winning, and the flying Elvis just emotes certain emotion, and, you know, it tells you something about them. Do you think that that's coming to an end? Because I sit there and I look at all these teams, all these guys that are leaving, and people still think they're going to go all the way, you know, to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, again, I would say what they had, and I'm not saying Garoppolo is a top five quarterback, but he's a special player. And what Belichick was preparing for was what the Yankees had when Joe DiMaggio was in his last season, and Mickey Mantle came up. And it was, and DiMaggio hated Mantle, of course, because he was taking his shine and he couldn't play anymore. And Mantle was this superstar. And it was seamless. So DiMaggio comes up in the late 30s. Mantle's not done to the mid-60s, late 60s. And the whole time until the mid-60s, the Yankees were like the Patriots were. And because they had a succession plan. But Brady, like in his last act, left you guys in a bad spot. Belichick was planning for a smooth transition and I think would have given you unbroken success. And by unbroken success, like, you know what it is. If you, the Patriots were amazing even when they weren't winning Super Bowls. They were winning double digits and not just like 10 games every year and usually advancing in the playoffs. That's all you can ask for, because at a certain point it is a bit of a crapshoot. It's a one-and-done elimination because of the nature of football. And Belichick was setting you up for that for the foreseeable future with a guy who understood the system, who was groomed, and you had perfect continuity. And was a lot like Brady, not as strong-armed, but quick reads, gets the ball out fast, all that stuff. And you don't have that now, and that is because of Tom Brady. But I still think that even though a guy like Brady is an extension of Belichick on the field, just like Tim Duncan was for Popovich or Jeter was for Joe Torre, if you're saying who was it more about, Belichick or Brady, clearly Belichick, and you still have him. So I expect the Patriots, even if they were to not make the playoffs this year, I'd expect them to be better than 500, and I would expect them to make the playoffs the year after and regain that kind of luster.
So get more into that, because I'm curious. We have that debate all the time, Belichick or Brady. And I don't think we're going to find out, right? Because I think Brady is down in Tampa. Belichick's team, I don't really think is going to be very good. But why do you say it's clearly Belichick and not the greatest quarterback of all time?
Well, Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not the best quarterback of all time. And by the way, no one who's ever watched him really thought that while they watched him. Like, early on, the Brady-Peyton comparison was like Joe Montana to Dan Marino, right? Like, one guy's putting up better numbers and is more talented, but the other guy's winning the Super Bowl. Largely, that's because he was with Bill Walsh, Joe Montana. But that, if you took two equally bright kids, one went to Harvard, one went to City College, after 4 years, the one who went to Harvard is better. They're smarter, right? Because they've had those compounding advantages, and that was Brady with Belichick. So in the first half of his career, he's a little overrated. Great player, no question, but a little overrated. And by the second half of his career, he really became the player people thought he was in the first half. He was actually not just steady Eddie and not faltering under pressure, but like putting up big numbers and elevating under pressure. And I know you guys know this because you watched him more closely than me, and I noticed it from where I'm sitting. So, but at no point were you like, Brady is actually better, not me anyway, than Peyton, except for when it matters most. Or Brady is better than Aaron Rodgers, except for when it matters most. So he had that. He was among the best ever, and he was in a great situation for him. But what situation was that? The coach and the GM was the best of all time. The best of all time. When Brady goes down, Matt Castle won 10 games.
I won 11, but they didn't make the playoffs. So.
Oh, no, you won 11, yeah. But Castle won 10.
Okay. So, he came in pretty early in the first game. So,
first quarter.
So winning is the most important thing, because I agree with everything you just said. You want to look at the statistics. Yeah, I do. When early on in Brady's career, the statistics were not there versus Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton Manning had much better receivers, had better talent out there, and the Patriots were built on defense, as you mentioned, especially those first three championship teams. But if you had one game to win, Rodgers or Brady? Peyton Manning or Brady? What do you do?
I don't know. I mean, you give Bill Belichick Aaron Rodgers. No question Aaron Rodgers.
So you think it's all Bill?
But he didn't have Bill Belichick. Like, look, put it this way. Baseball is a game of GMs. The general manager is the number one determining factor for who has the best team. Basketball is a game of players. The number one determining factor is who has the best player or players, right? Football is a game of coaches, guys. That's the number one determining factor, and that includes the quarterback. That's not to say that the quarterback isn't very important and the coach needs the quarterback. Of course he does. But it's really – they used to say, A.J. Liebling, who wrote The Sweet Science, said, boxing is chess played on human bodies. But it's not, because really that's football. And the chess players are the coaches, and that's Belichick. And he was the GM.
That always drives me crazy, Max, when I hear people say that, because it totally devalues his accomplishments as if he couldn't accomplish the same thing somewhere else. To me, it's not that simple. It's really both are dependent on each other in a time and place that would never exist in any other situation. So, because I would say, listen, you want to give him Aaron Rodgers? That relationship lasts 3 years. Look at Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah, you might be right.
Bitching and complaining, passive-aggressive comments towards the Packers. I mean, he's acting just like Brett Favre did. So I just don't know. It's easy to say because none of us have an opportunity to find out if it would be true or not. But so the debate carries on.
Listen, you might be right, but like over the long haul. But I think when we say best ever, we're really talking about peak value. And when we say greatest, we're talking about career. So that steady Eddie component of Brady, you're right, makes him the greatest. And by the way, make no mistake, Brady would have been a great player wherever he went. He was great. That was in him intrinsically. But the fact that he was with Belichick made him the greatest of all time. Now let's look at Belichick. Look at his overall record without Brady. Throw out Cleveland, by the way, who he turned into a playoff team pretty quickly originally, right? But throw out Cleveland. Once he got to the Patriots, got some power, got stability, he already had the reps under him. What was his record without Brady? Clearly Brady gave you a premium over Matt Castle. But what was he? I don't know the record offhand, but, you know, I look it up and then I forget it. But it was something close to 20 wins and fewer than 10 losses.
Right.
Right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he was, without Brady, not as good as with Brady, but still an excellent winning coach, winning like twice as much as he lost. We don't know what Brady is without Belichick. We're about to find out. But, of course, he's past his prime. So if he does well, it's gravy. And if he doesn't do well, he's old.
Yeah. So real quickly, just shifting to basketball real quick, because the Celtics, obviously, you know, we're paying attention to them just as much as anything else. And I know I feel like you've been all over the place with them. You know, on one hand, I feel like you've said, you know, they're a big threat and maybe the Bucks are their biggest threat, or maybe it's Philly. Where do you stand with the Celtics this year with this weird season that they have?
The Celtics are a really interesting team. The funkier the season gets, the more unusual the circumstances, the better I think the Celtics' chances, because I don't think they're the best team. But if Tatum takes a step forward at just the right time and can become the kind of player that you say, that guy can be the best player on a championship team, then I think they can do it in a season like this. I think it's a little bit early. But I think the nucleus is there because you like Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown. What I love about those guys is they can play in the modern NBA on both sides of the floor, and you don't really need to run plays for them. They can get their points in the flow of the game. And when you have a guy like Kemba, who is sort of the best approximation of Kyrie, but a better clubhouse guy, better locker room guy rather, and a kind of better chemistry guy, and maybe a more willing passer in the moment of truth. It's the right kind of compliment if you have a franchise level scoring option, which Tatum seems to be on his way to becoming. Maybe not there yet, but if he can do it in the playoffs, it's stranger things have happened than a team like the Celtics winning it all, who can defend and shoot.
Okay, what's the best case scenario for them then? I mean, do you see if all things go right, they go to the NBA Finals? Yes.
No, they can win the championship if all things go right. Why not?
So a week ago, you said the biggest threat to the Bucks was the Sixers. Are you still buying that based on what you've seen? Good luck with the Sixers.
The problem with the Sixers, what they've shown is they don't shoot it enough. They just like
team.
Sometimes, well, see, I think that's a little bit overstated. Like, I'm not denying that there seem to be chemistry issues, but if they had some outside shooting, watch those things go away. Like, the weird thing is that Horford can't be on the floor with Embiid. That's weird. You would think of Horford basically as a four, but he's never played the four at any organized level, apparently. He's really a five. And as diverse as his skills are, right, he can bring the ball up if you need him to. He can defend the paint. He can move in the post. He can put the ball on the floor against another big. He can shoot. He can block shots. Like, he can do all kinds of stuff for you. Can't play with Embiid. So that now all of a sudden Simmons is the power forward. You don't have enough shooting on that team. And that was the basic worry going in. I thought maybe Josh Richardson, if he's shooting it well, shoots it just well enough, maybe with Tobias Harris, maybe you have enough shooting.
Now, it's a big part of it. It's a big part of it, but they're dysfunctional. They really are dysfunctional. That is their biggest problem. I mean, they win with shooting last night with a three from Milton, but they were struggling through the entire game again last night. They're toast.
Hey, Max, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you still feel, because I know Kyrie Irving is a polarizing figure here in Boston. I don't think too many fans appreciate his game by the time he left. Would you call him the most skilled basketball player of all time? Do you still feel that way?
Yeah,
I think
there's a really strong argument to be made. That he is, let's take away the wisdom as to when to deploy those skills, but show me someone else who has handles like him, you could argue has the best handles ever, easily, who can finish in the paint like him, even if it's under the rim, who can shoot like him on top of that. Like, on the offensive end, he has every skill you want in a guy his size. It's unbelievable. But he's, the word I used to describe is radioactive.
Yeah,
you know, radioactive, which is like powerful, but you got to harness it right. And so far, it hasn't worked out for him. Teams get better when he leaves.
Yeah.
Max has a new show debuting on ESPN Radio. We're going to pick it up on our AM radio station, WEEI AM, beginning 8:50 a.m. beginning on August the 17th.
Look at that. Part of the team, 8:50.
Wow, officially part of the family. Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Send him one of the T-shirts.
Hey, what do you get for the 4th anniversary anyway? So, 4th anniversary of the Cliff. What do you get for so?
Is it paper?
Is it paper? What do you get for 4th anniversary?
It's more of a ravine than a cliff. Nevertheless, if Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Patriots, you think if Tom Brady was still what he was, he wouldn't be the quarterback of the Patriots?
I think they moved on, Cliff.
So we did hear it, Max. You did apologize to everybody back here in New England, and you said you were wrong. I think I heard it somewhere in the
only about calling him a bum. But I apologized for that 4 years ago.
You got it, Max. Good talking to you.
You too, guys.
Thanks, right.
Max Kellerman from ESPN on the Harbor One Hotline, right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.